Renegade Broadcasting, hard-hitting talk radio.
Happy Monday. What do you know? We're just about through February here. Spring has returned. Absolutely. Every last flake of snow is completely melted. It's unreal. Over the weekend, it got up into the 70s again. It's unreal. Never seen anything like it. We actually set a record the other day. The warmest record for that date, I guess, in history for New England. Pretty wild. Doesn't mean we won't get hit again with another blizzard. That can happen. It's crazy. This is the time people get really sick, elderly people especially, you know. It's warm during the day. You might forget to put the windows down at night, and then it drops really cold, and they get really sick, get pneumonia, can kill you. That's probably what's behind it. Not normal, guys. It's like nothing else in this rigged world of ours is normal anymore. Anyway, I wanted to mention something a listener had sent me on Friday. Naturalnews.com, a website I'm sure a lot of you have heard of. I've been there quite a few times over the years. They've had a lot of really, really good articles. Alternative health is what they specialize in, as you can tell from the name of the website. A lot of stuff exposing, the pharmaceutical fraud artists, inoculations, you know, on and on. Very, very good stuff. I think it's, what's his name, Mike Adams that runs that. I can't even remember now if I interviewed him. I think I did years ago. Funny, when you've interviewed so many people over the years, you can't remember half the time which ones you have and haven't talked with. I'm pretty sure I interviewed him. But anyway, in addition to, you know, health-related stuff, he's had a lot of stuff on, 9-11, on Sandy Hook, and a lot of the other fake shootings. He seems to be a pretty straight shooter. I don't know that he's ever had any articles on the J factor, but, he might not be aware of it. There are truthers out there like that, that if they really knew, they'd be talking about it, you know. But anyway, nevertheless, he seems pretty sincere to me. He's had, you know, he's gone out on the limb on a lot of issues. And now we find that he's been the first major league victim of Google's new policies. Natural News has had 140,000 plus pages of their archives completely removed from Google's search engine. When you type in, it's not going to come up anymore. They've trashed the whole thing, guys. They've dumped all of their archives from their search engine. Isn't that interesting? Google was asked about it and wouldn't comment except to confirm that they have done this. They admit that they took the archives down. but they wouldn't give any reason. Wouldn't answer any questions. Imagine that. They just flushed him down the memory hole. Now, is this something that we can expect more of under Mr. Trump? Is this some new policy, some backdoor policy that he's going to, all the while, Alex is shilling for him? Is this something that, they're not going to come out and say it openly, that this is an official policy of this administration? But yet, they're going to be doing it underhandedly. As far as I know, Mr. Alex Jones hasn't mentioned this yet. Maybe he has. Correct me if I'm wrong, somebody. But, call in, let me know. But I don't think he's mentioned this. Why not? This is very troubling, guys. This is big. This is major. Is this the start of a new trend now? I mean, we've already seen stuff happening, websites or YouTuber channels being taken down. But this here is even bigger, if you ask me. It is bigger. Natural News is a major website, a major thorn in the flesh, if you will, of what Mr. Jones likes to call the globalists. 140,000 pages. Are they sending a message to other truthers out there? This is only the beginning. You're next. Blah, blah, blah. What in the hell? This is big. This is big. This is something we need to keep a close eye on. Anyway, Actual News has stated that this action, as well as kindred actions against other alternative conservative websites, may well be a precursor to a massive false flag coup or other type of civil crackdown. Now, I want to say that Natural News is a fan of Mr. Trump, and they're saying that this is the liberals trying to attack the conservatives, the supporters of Trump. And certainly a lot of this censorship has been coming from that direction, right? It looks like it's the liberals trying. But guys, is something else going on here that the people at Natural News maybe aren't even aware of? Is it actually the Trump people doing this and making it look like it's the liberals? You know what I'm saying? They do this all the time. This is a little bouncing ball game they play. When Bush Jr. came into office, he blamed Clinton for 9/11. You know how that works. They're not really blaming each other. This is just a game they play back and forth. And then later when a Republican comes in, he blames the previous Democrat. But, it's like professional wrestling. They give each other noogies and insult each other's mothers, but later they're laughing it off at the corner pub, Is it really the liberals that are doing this to Trump? He's the president now. You don't think he could stop this if he wanted to? Are you freaking kidding me? Guys, it's the Trump boys doing it. Regardless what Natural News might think or want you to think, I don't know. You always got to keep in the back of your mind, how big is this lie? Is Natural News itself even in on it? Jesus Christ. I mean, this is how warped this world is. You really got to wonder. You got to question everything. But nevertheless, this is significant. And when I say Natural News is in on it, what I mean is, are they playing the Alex Jones game and covering for their buddy who's actually doing the censoring and they're in? Who knows? It doesn't matter, though. This is a significant act of outright, blatant, in-your-face censorship. And I would agree with Natural News's assessment. Are they doing this because they're getting ready? They want to shut down all these alternative sites that expose their scams because they're getting ready for a big one? Anyway, just something to keep in the back of your mind. Wow, it seems like I picked the wrong time to have my life turned upside down, that I have to leave broadcasting for a while, because I really see things getting really, really interesting here, if that's even the word to use. Desperate. I hope I'm wrong, but under this administration, guys, they've been pumping up the truth movement so much into leading people to think that this guy is their hero. I think, guys, we're going to see probably the worst yet under this guy. Time will tell. Something will happen so he has an out to say, "Oh, sorry, my fellow Americans, I had every intention of turning things around. But as you can see, I can't do that now." And Alex is going to be right there cheerleading. "Well, you've got to understand, guys. Even the best of political leaders have to resort to desperate measures like this, in the midst of a crisis like this. Just give him time, though. This is only temporary." The one who led people to think he's the biggest exposer of scams and power grabs with false flag operations is probably going to shill for the biggest false flag operation yet. Like I said, I hope I'm wrong, but I'm really smelling something very foul here. Very, very foul. Just like his claim the other day, Trump's claim that he's going after sex trafficking in this country. He said it's a big problem. Oh, he's right. And we can certainly cheer that on. It sounds good, but notice how vague it is, too. He didn't say anything specific. He certainly didn't mention frickin' Pizzagate as part of this human trafficking. My guess is, guys, certainly, again, a statement like that sounds good, and you want to get your hopes up. Wow, could it be that he's... I don't see that happening. I don't see... No. I see a statement like that as designed to get people's hopes up who are in the know, who see what's been going on and want to see something done. And you might hear about some busts of traffickers, but it'll just be low-level stuff, guys. They're not going to go after the big fish in the sea. Trump already told 60 Minutes that the Clintons are good people. They've been through enough already. I'm not going to go after the Clintons. He actually said that. So how serious can he be in his claim to stop trafficking in this country? But, like I said, the very fact that he admitted that that's going on, that is significant. Tactic has always been to deny this. But like I said, I think it's all part of the setup that he's admitting it, but not really intending to do anything about it. Anyway. Let us move on here. In these last 5 days, for now anyway, of broadcasting, I picked out a few things here that I wanted to cover. And I guess what I'll probably do is, if I don't finish any of these sets of notes by the end of the show each day this week, I'll just leave it where it left off, because I want to get to all of these different topics here. Whatever I don't cover, you can request the notes. But anyway, one thing I didn't cover last week that I think I made reference to, I intended to, but I totally forgot, and it's not that important right now, so I'm not even going to bother going over it. But I mentioned the Brahmins and the interesting tribal connections with the Brahmins. I'm not going to have time to to do that before Friday, but if anybody wants, just send me a request. I'll send you those notes. I think some people already did, although I don't think I even thought of the Brahmin notes. No, I sent notes out on the thuggies and on the gypsies regarding tribal/India connections, but I didn't send the Brahmin notes to anybody yet. Anyway, so if anybody wants those notes, just send me a request. I'll send those off to you. But what it does is it shows the deep-rooted tribal connections in that country going back to ancient times, pre-Christian times. So that by the time Jesus came around, it's no wonder he was going off to India. They already had deep roots planted there. So these Brahmin notes are yet more evidence of that. But like I said, I'm not going to cover that, you know, at least not this in this last week for now. What I do want to go over, though, is, and thanks to a listener that sent me this material, or most of it anyway. I looked up a few things later I found on my own, but he had already done the bulk of the research for me, which was great. It saved me a lot of time. This is an idea, a topic that I had wanted to look at actually a while back. I never got around to it. It's probably just as well because so much has happened in more recent times that this listener sent me in these notes. You know, it's better now that I'm covering this. But Starbucks. Good old Starbucks. A place I used to frequent. I mentioned before a coffee shop that I used to go to and the trouble I got there from a local hook-noser. I don't even bother going anymore. In fact, I don't go to any Starbucks anymore, guys. I'm completely done with them. It's been probably at least 2 years now that I've been to a Starbucks. I think I've been to, just because some friends asked me, I've been to a Starbucks-affiliated coffee shop. But I don't even do that anymore. I don't want to support them. Like I said, it's pretty hard to boycott every single frickin' company that's tribal connected because, like I said, if you did that, you'd have to starve to death because they own everything. But nevertheless, this is one company that is particularly sleazy, as we'll see here, that I want nothing to do with anymore. I am not supporting them. They are the sleaze of the sleaze. When I say Starbucks affiliated, by the way, I don't know if this is the case across the country, but a lot of Barnes and Nobles around here, you know, bookstores that have coffee shops in them, they carry Starbucks products. It might not say Starbucks. Some of them do, but some of them don't say Starbucks. It's like just a locally run coffee shop, or it might be the local Barnes and Noble itself that runs the coffee shop somewhat independently, but really not independently, because they buy Starbucks products. It might not say Starbucks on it. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't, but they're still Starbucks products. In fact, I know two Barnes and Nobles in my area. One of them, it is called Starbucks. Another one, it's not, but it is Starbucks. You know, you ask them, they'll tell you, oh yeah, we all of our blends are Starbucks, you know, blah, blah, blah. You can even use your Starbucks card at the thing, even though it doesn't have the Starbucks name on it, just because it's their product. But anyway, I'm done with it. I'm not supporting these scumbags anymore, guys. It's as tribal as you can get. Starbucks Corporation is a U.S.-based coffee company, of course, and coffee house chain. They've more recently branched out into tea as well. We'll be talking about that. It was founded in Seattle, of course, as many of you, I'm sure, are aware, back in 1971. It never started coming around here until probably, 12, about 15, 16 years ago. Yeah. Prior to that, I'd never heard of the damn thing. Unless you had been out in the Northwest for the most part. None of you probably ever heard of it either. But now it's everywhere. In fact, I was reading, I forget now the exact number, but they've been popping up so much in recent years. I think it's like a new store every 2 days or something just crazy like that. That's how fast they're growing. Yeah, I think that's what it was. Every 2 days, a new Starbucks is opening somewhere. Not just, you know, in this country. It's an international, multinational corporation. Anyway, again, it was founded in 1971 by Jerry Baldwin, Zev Siegel, and Gordon Bowker. probably a crypto. So out of those three, one is definitely a tribe member, and a second one is probably a crypto. Hey, for all we know, Jerry Baldwin could be a crypto, too. Sometimes that name wouldn't surprise me. Anyway, as of November 2016, just this past November, Starbucks now operates, it's probably a few more than this, but as of November anyway, they were operating 23,768 locations worldwide, including 13,107 in the United States. Think about that, guys. 13,000, over 13,000 just in the U.S. You know how many that is per state? Freaking ridiculous. They're everywhere. Like a cancer fanning out in every direction. They also have 2,204 in China, 1,418 in Canada, 1,660 in Japan, and 872 in South Korea. So, I mean, and like any multinational corporation, guys, and we'll go into this in some more detail later, but everywhere they go, they're vultures. They just brutalize the market everywhere they go, engage in all kinds of sleazy tactics to crush out competition. In my area, they have not yet driven out another popular coffee chain that was around here long before Starbucks came along. But, you know, it's probably just a matter of time. Dunkin' Donuts is a big coffee chain in my area. I don't even know if they're national. I'm trying to think now, all my travels over the years, I can't remember seeing a Dunkin' Donuts outside of New England. I think they're in New York, too, but I don't know if they're nationwide. Anyway, they are big here and have been, you know, for a long time. I remember as a kid, you know, there was always a Dunkin' Donuts at every town you went. They're still around. As a matter of fact, I think they see Starbucks as such a threat that they have been expanding exponentially. In my town right now, we used to have one Dunkin' Donuts. It was right in the center of town. We now have six of them. Six of them in this town. I think they're doing it, though, because they want to overawe Starbucks, because they know Starbucks has been having this cutthroat policy, you know. So they, in any case, though, I mean, is that ridiculous or what? Six in one town. Several of them are, you know, you could almost see the next one in line from, you know, standing in the front of the parking lot of one of them. I'm not kidding. They're that close. It's just, it's ridiculous. And yet they're all doing good business. I so bizarre. But anyway, it's amazing, guys, how they create the illusion that you need a cup of coffee. And, you know, once they get the customers coming in, you get regular people coming in. Just like with cigarettes, they keep increasing the dose of nicotine to get you more addicted, so you remain a loyal customer and you keep buying more and more and more. It's like a fix. Gotta have it. I need my cigarette. I need my coffee to keep you coming back so they can suck you dry and make their billions of dollars of profits. In fact, annually, Starbucks makes, guess how much? $10.7 billion, guys, getting people high on caffeine. Starbucks has the highest amount of caffeine by far of any other coffee shop. They have the highest caffeine. They blend it that way. They make it that way, guys, to get you addicted. That's another reason I don't drink it anymore. Just that alone, never mind their tribal shenanigans that we'll get into in a moment. Guys, I'm telling you, this stuff will kill you. I used to joke about this, but you know, it's true. I bet if you freaking dehydrated a cup of freaking Starbucks coffee, let it dry out in the sun, then took those crystals, you could sell them on the street, you know, $30 a pop or something. I'm telling you, it would be more potent than friggin' speed. I used to get a buzz off of that coffee. I got a high off of it. It's unbelievably high in caffeine, man. It's bad. It's really bad. So, if for no other reason, stay the hell away from that place for your health's sake. People think, oh, well, if it's $5 for a cappuccino or $5 for one of their specialty drinks, you know, their frappuccinos or whatever the hell, it must be good stuff. That's what most mindless arses think. If I pay more, yeah, it might suck that I'm paying more money, but at least I know I'm getting good quality. Oh, you're not getting good quality, baby. Good quality health destruction, yeah. Getting ahead of myself, but even their snacks, guys, stay the hell away from all of that garbage. Be better off hanging out at McDonald's than eating their snacks and drinking their little specialty drinks. Anyway, let me not get ahead of myself here. Starbucks is considered the main representative of second-wave coffee, initially distinguishing itself from other coffee serving venues in the U.S. by taste, quality, customer experience, while popularizing darkly roasted coffee. It's all a big gimmick, guys. It's all big. It's just hype. They create the illusion that you've got to have your cup of coffee. And like I said, once they lure you in with all of their commercials and, the propaganda they spew about themselves, how great they are and high quality, great social environment. Are you kidding me? Great social environment. Most of the people I've met at Starbucks, guys, belong in a frickin' psych ward, to be honest with you. I mean, I've met a few decent ones, but I'm telling you, man, most of them, they're just scum, absolute scum of the earth. Anyway, we're break coming in, guys. Take a break.
Again.
After getting censored relentlessly on YouTube, with video after video and channel after channel getting taken down, we have decided to try a different approach.
We now have RenegadeVids.com, which features all the documentaries, parodies, compilations, sketches, and video discussions that are simply too accurate for the kosher censors.
There are now many hours worth of hard-hitting videos waiting for you to watch and share, so get on over to RenegadeVids.com.
Right. Oh, jeez. Throat is a little hoarse this morning. Welcome back, guys. Anyway, Starbucks is also, amongst other things, guys, one of the most overly priced, outrageously expensive coffee shops in the U.S. And like I said, its coffee has the highest levels of caffeine of any other brand of coffee. That's part of the allurement, you know. They create this idea that it's so great. Once they got you in there, once you've tried it, guys, you get off on the high. You realize, oh, all these other coffee shops don't give me that picker-up that I need like this place does. I'm not even, I've heard so many people say this too. Once you've tried Starbucks, there's just no going back to the other places. And they think that it's because they really like the taste. Guys, I'm not a coffee connoisseur per se, but I do like coffee. I have it once in a while, not too often. Mostly because of the, you know, even the decaf, it's not even good for you, guys. It dehydrates you. It's not that healthy. You know, once in a while. And I do mean once in a great while, I'll have a cup. I usually get caffeinated. Well, but anyway. But I got to tell you, I'm not impressed with Starbucks. Now, there's some people that like dark coffee. You know, they drink it black. No sugar, no cream. To me, that's just totally alien. I don't get it. I could never drink coffee that way. So if you're that kind of person, then maybe you do like Starbucks. The darker, the better. Not me. No, I always have to, not like before, I used to load it with sugar. No, if I get it at all, if I have stevia on me, of course I use that, but if there's no stevia, they do have sugar in the raw. I mean, I don't like sugar at all, but I got to put something in it, guys. I can't drink it straight. Well, I mean, any coffee, I don't drink Starbucks at all now, but when I went to Starbucks, guys, I had to put sugar in it. It's just way too bitter. Way too bitter. If you're like me and you got to sweeten your coffee, Starbucks is so bitter. There's another problem with it. You can't get enough sugar in the damn thing. Before I became more health conscious and cut out my sugar consumption and, you know, my gluten consumption, on and on, I hate to even admit this, I would put 6, 7, even 8 teaspoons of frickin' sugar. And they were heaping teaspoons, too. I would have to do it to counteract the bitterness of that coffee. It was so frickin' strong. And I wasn't alone. A lot of other people did that, too. So guess what, guys? And you know what? When it was all said and done, did it taste any better to me than the other coffees, which only required 2 or 3 sugars to get that same sweetness? No, it didn't taste any better. I think it's all hype. Just like wine, you know, you get these wine connoisseurs and, oh, this is a fine wine. Maybe you can argue I don't have a refined taste for wine, but I'm sorry, guys. One wine is frickin' the same to me. You know what wine I like is frickin' Moscato or Riscato, the sweet wines. The other ones, I could really give a frog's fat fanny. I don't even like the taste of it. To me, it's just, ugh, hideous. I don't like it. I'll drink it to be polite, you know, at a party or something, you know, a wedding or whatever, you know, I'll have a little glass, but I don't like it. People talk about their craving. Oh, I love wine. I just don't get it. It doesn't do anything for me. They all taste the same to me. They all taste like crap, except the, you know, the sweet ones. But anyway. So, you know, like I was saying, I do like coffee, but to me, Starbucks is not the cream of the crop. I don't really care for it. You know what I like is frickin' Cumberland Farms. $1. Whether it's small, medium, or large, $1. I like it, not just because the price, but I like it. I like the taste of Cumberland Farms coffee. It's pretty good. Why go and spend $3, $4, $5, $6, $7, take your pick, at Starbucks and get yourself a caffeine high that can wind you up in the frickin' emergency room, for crying out loud, with heart palpitations, going to SVTs or whatever, you know. You can get yourself a half-decent cup for $1 that isn't going to kill you with high levels of caffeine. Ah. Like I said, guys, it's all a bunch of hype to lure you in, and once you're lured in, then you get hooked on the stuff. Any other coffee won't do it for you because you're not getting that crave satisfied now. Because your body is so addicted to that high level of caffeine, the lower level caffeine coffees now don't give you that fix that you need. Yeah, I wish I had time to do a show on that, the effects of caffeine on the body. It's horrible, guys. It does give you an immediate pickup, but in the long run, it drains you of your energy. You're more tired than you were before you drank coffee. It's so unhealthy. It's like taking an upper and then a downer, and your heart goes up and then down, and it over time, guys, it'll screw up your heart if it isn't screwed up already. Even healthy people, you don't have to have heart trouble. It'll give you heart trouble. If you have heart trouble and you're drinking it, you really better second guess what you're doing. Very bad for your heart. Especially Starbucks coffee. Another reason I avoid coffee for the most part, like I said, every once in a great while I'll have a little cup here or there. But guys, it dehydrates you. Aside from the caffeine, coffee dehydrates you. So if you get a problem with high blood pressure or something, that's something you want to stay away from. But, I mean, you just look at all the hype. They've got coffee shops everywhere you go now. Once Starbucks takes hold, they got 2, 3, 4 in the same town. The same with, Dunkin' Donuts. Right now, they're still more prominent than Starbucks. But give them time. Starbucks is very creative with their sleazy tactics of crushing out competition. Even though Dunkin' Donuts is really popular still in my area, I bet it's just a matter of time. They're gonna take them down. So that pretty soon, just like, you don't have a choice anymore to go out to eat for the most part because all the big chain restaurants have driven out all the locally owned restaurants that served real food. They're going to do that with Starbucks. You're not going to have a choice anymore. It's going to be the only coffee shop, in which case I'd say give up coffee. Or, buy some at the grocery store and brew your own. Screw these big companies, guys. They are taking us for a ride, man. Anyway, its specialty drinks, as I said, are extremely high in calories, sugar, fat, and its snacks are loaded with preservatives, sodium, outrageously overpriced, guy. Just for a little frickin', they had that basil and tomato sandwich with the mozzarella cheese or whatever. My God, I can't remember now. Is it four something? I think it's almost $5 frickin'. But two little pieces of frickin' bread, a strip of cheese, a hint of a basil, and a little, skimpy couple little pieces of tomato. It's four something if I remember right. I mean, wow! I don't know what's more outrageous, that they charge high prices like that, or that people actually pay high prices like that. They laugh all the way to the bank. Who would have thought a few years ago that people would be this gullible to pay so much money for what? You couldn't even fill up a frickin' cat with that size proportion. Not to mention, it's not even good for you. Look at the sodium. Forget everything else. Just look at the sodium content. Pick off the shelf any one of those snack products of theirs, guys. And look at the sodium content. You'll be amazed. Absolutely amazed. Their muffins, we're talking 500, 600, 700, 800 calories for one muffin, and they're not that big. Do people stop to realize what they're doing to themselves? This stuff is toxic. They're killing you while draining your wallet, making an ASS out of you, getting you to pay these outrageous prices, only to turn around and make you sick in the process. you're paying a high price to screw up your health. So you're paying two high prices, aren't you? A high price in money and a high price in the cost of your health. In other words, you are the ultimate yee-haw when you go to these places. You're contributing to their monopoly and to a hell of a lot more than that, as we're going to see in a moment when you realize what they've been doing with a lot of their profits. But you're screwing up your health in the process. I mean, to me, it's a no-brainer. Stay the hell away from these places, guys. Anyway, Starbucks remains, in spite of all of these problems, or maybe because of them, Starbucks remains a most popular hangout for millions of Americans on a regular basis. So maybe I shouldn't say in spite of all these problems, people still go. Maybe I should say because of them. People seem to like garbage. They like to be lied to. They like to be scammed. What else can you conclude? They must like it. Because they love lies, don't they? Whether it's lies in the media or lies by corporations, they buy the products of these corporations that are screwing them over. They love it. They can't get enough of it. And then when you try to come along and tell them, hey, look, you really shouldn't be supporting this company. Look what they're doing. No. They keep running back for more. Some customers basically live at their local Starbucks, guys. When I used to go, it's kind of sad, you know. I used to wonder, my God, don't these people have anything else to do with their lives? I mean, I didn't go all the time, but the few times I would go here and there, sometimes I'd go two or three times a week. I'd ride my bike up and meet some friends. But I'd be amazed to see the same freaking people. And sometimes I'd go for a walk, you know, I'd come back, they're still there. We'd go to see a movie, and we'd go back later, you know, and still the same people are still there. They'd be there all freaking day. Pretty sad. And, of course, all the time that they're there, what are they doing? They keep ordering more and more garbage, pumping themselves up all day long with their high fat, high sodium, high sugar. Pretty sad, man. Part of it, though, is a good part of it, is the addictive factor of the high level of caffeine in that crap, guys. What is that doing to the person's health? On December 1st, 2016, the company's CEO, Howard Schultz, announced that he would resign in April of this year. So in a couple more months, or a month and a half, whatever, sometime in April, he said he's going to resign. And you know why? Because there's been a lot of complaints made about him. It was probably suggested, hey, look, it might be best for the company. Don't worry, we'll take care of you later. But, you know, we've got a bad rap because of you. You've done a good job, and we're going to handsomely reward you. Oh, we're going to give you a big severance package. But it's probably better that you leave because we don't want the bad PR. Oh, we're still going to engage in our sleazy tactics, but because these sleazy tactics come attached with your name, we need to do these same things under somebody different and more covertly now. It's all about image. It's not about changing, reforming. No. That's why they have the illusion of a new president, of an election every year to get a new person in office. So you think there's going to be a change now. Okay, you didn't like that guy. Well, maybe you like this one. Oh, you didn't like him either? Well, this guy. Okay, this one. Oh, yeah, every 4 years or every 8 years, whatever, you know, we'll keep changing the face. The game will still remain the same, but we'll have the illusion that something is changing. The same when they change a CEO. Okay, you don't like this guy. Fine, we'll get a new one. And you'll think, okay, that's in the past now. This is the new Starbucks. Nah, knock it. And this new guy, I forget his name now, but, you know, doesn't end in Berg or Steen. So they're trying to get away. Johnson, I think that's his name. New guy that's going to be taken away. Johnson. Though it doesn't sound like he's a tribe member. It's probably a tribe member. It just changed his name to Johnson, for all we know. Anyway, thought I had a caller, but nope. I think they're just calling to listen. Anyway, so let's take a closer look here at wonderful Starbucks. Let's look at some of the controversies over the years. Oh, there's been many, but I'll just highlight a few here. Their market strategy, as I said, is just absolutely completely sleazy, all designed to consolidate their monopoly and drive out competition. Some of the methods Starbucks has employed to expand and maintain its dominant market position, including buying out competitors' leases, intentionally operating at a loss, and clustering several locations in a small geographical area, you know, saturating the market. Critics have, you know, rightly labeled these tactics as anti-competitive. Yeah. Who was it, Mr. David Rockefeller, who said competition is a sin? The most sleazy tactics you can imagine, guys, they've been employing to drive out competition. Like I said, they'll operate at a loss just to drive out competition. Once they've done that, then they'll shut the other six shops that they had on the same block and just keep that one open now because there's no other coffee shops available. Or they might keep two of them open, one on each side of the block, whatever, you know. They'll operate at a loss for a while until they see that their competition is gone, and then they'll just keep one or two of their stores open, you know, so that it's a big profit margin, and yet they won't have to keep so many stores open because it costs money, you know, for the rent and everything. Incredibly, incredibly sleazy. Locally in my area, Dunkin' Donuts has done that very thing until Starbucks came along. Now they're starting to compete. But we have another coffee shop, too. I'm surprised they're still around because they're not as big as Dunkin' Donuts or Starbucks. Honeydew Donuts. But, you know, their tactics aren't as sleazy, or maybe they would be if they were a bigger company. They just can't afford to do what some of these other companies are doing. You usually only see one here, one there. You know, they don't monopolize. But Dunkin' Donuts? Oh, yeah. They're everywhere, guys. Like I said, there's six of them in my town. Six of them. My town isn't even that big. It's like 40, 45,000 or something. Six of them. Ridiculous. There's no more local bakeries, you know. There's a Brazilian bakery. Yeah, there's a market for that. But the locally owned, you know, those days are gone. There used to be a really nice bakery up the street from me. We always used to get birthday cakes there and whoopie pies or cream puffs, you know. My aunt used to come over and she'd stop off there and buy a whole bunch of them, bring them over on a Sunday morning or something. Oh, we used to love it, you know. Gone. Those days are gone. You can't even find frickin' cream puffs anymore. People don't even know what the hell they are. I was a kid, cream puffs, that was the thing, man. Oh, those frickin' things were good. And they were freshly made, you know, not anywhere near as toxic as the crap that you get now. You can't even find stuff like that anymore. Everything is prepackaged, you know, frozen, heated up. I'm so sick of this artificial junk, guys. That's all we're offered. Absolute crap, and at a very high price at that. Anyway, Starbucks fueled its initial expansion into the UK market with a buyout of Seattle Coffee Company, but then used its capital and influence to obtain prime locations, some of which operated, again, at a financial loss. Critics claimed that this was an unfair attempt to drive out small independent competitors. And that's all it was about, because they couldn't afford to, you know, pay inflated prices for premium real estate. They operate at a loss. They can afford to do so, right? It's a multi-billion dollar corporation. They do it just to give themselves a footing and to remove the footing of local coffee shops that can't compete with them. As you might guess, just like all the other multinational corporations, there's been a lot of labor disputes with Starbucks. Starbucks workers in seven stores have joined the Industrial Workers of the World, or IWW, as the Starbucks Workers Union since 2004. According to a Starbucks Union press release, since then, the union membership has begun expanding to Chicago and Maryland, in addition to New York City, where the movement originated. On March 7th of 2006, the IWW and Starbucks agreed to a National Labor Relations Board settlement in which three Starbucks workers were granted almost $2,000 in back wages, and two fired employees were offered reinstatement. So, just like all the other multinationals, guys, they're making massive amounts of profits while underpaying their workers, overworking them, you know, cracking the whip while they're there. Come on, faster, moving, stressing you out, getting the maximum amount of work out of you for the minimal amount of pay, not even hiring you full-time, not giving you benefits. Oh, I'm telling you, man. We have a revolution in this country. I hope it starts with corporations and banks. Then we'll get to the government later. It's these SOBs that control the government that create the mess we're in, guys. It's not even I'm not exonerating government leaders. They're scum, too. But they're just puppets, guys. That's all they are. They're just the glove. It's the hand in the glove that's really making the problem. And the hand, well, you know who the hand is. Not just corporations. Who runs the corporations? That's the question Mr. Jones doesn't address, except to use vague terms like the globalists. Anyway, we got caller here on the air. Welcome to the show, caller. Maybe he's just calling to listen too, I guess.
Are you talking to me?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just listening. I'll just mute my phone.
Oh, okay. No problem. Yep. I wasn't sure. All right. Anyway, quite a few listeners today. According to the Starbucks Union, on November 24th, 2006, IWW members picketed Starbucks locations in more than 50 cities around the world, in countries including Australia, Canada, Germany, and the UK, as well as U.S. cities including New York, Chicago, Minneapolis, and San Francisco, to protest the firing of five Starbucks workers, union organizers, and demand their reinstatement. They fired them because they organized a union. Remember years ago, a company I was working for, I made some calls to try to get a union, and they told me, well, technically they can't fire you, but this does happen. Oh, of course it happens. It happens all the time. And they said, we can get your job back, but it can take up to 3 years. Unbelievable, guys. Unbelievable. Of course, you know, getting a union, what does that mean? The unions themselves, guys, have become oppressors. Once a union is in, whether you want to join it or not, they forcefully rape your paycheck. They take union dues out of your paycheck, even if you don't want to be a member. How do you like that? And you won't be entitled to the benefits because you're not a member, but they'll take your wages anyway. Can you believe that horse crap? Hey, but why not? People let the IRS rape their check every week when they don't have any legal authority to do that either. So, you know, why not some frickin' union? The unions are all tribal-run, guys. Even though, yeah, they have done some good to help some people. They have to, so that they look legitimate. But they're a scam, too. People welcome them, though, at least initially. Because, they're going to put our oppressors in their place. They're going to fix their fannies. But then ultimately, the union itself becomes an oppressor. So you just replaced one scumbag with another. just like, you know, all the world's revolutions, they were sold as a means to free yourself from government tyranny. A lot of times the revolutions occurred when there wasn't even real government tyranny, just the illusion that there was, you know, like the freaking Russian Revolution, right? But nevertheless, people thought, well, at least we're going to get freedom from the oppression in the workplace. After the revolution, what did they get? They were in much tighter of a noose, had a much tighter noose around their neck than they ever had before. Same with unions, guys. They cheer them on. They think it's their savior. And, yeah, some changes might occur initially, so it looks good. Yeah, we're so glad we got this union in. As time goes on, though, oh, wow, you begin to realize now I'm in a worse friggin' mess than I was before. Well, look who runs damn things. What else did you expect? What lesson have we learned today? In 2005, Starbucks paid out $165,000 to 8 employees at its Kent, Washington roasting plant to settle charges that they had been retaliated against for being pro-union. So look at this guy. They don't want workers to have rights. The minute you try to do anything about it, even though the unions are no damn good ultimately anyway, but you understand the point. We don't want the union to come in and oppress you. We want to do it ourselves. They don't want their profits to be cut into. That's it. Bottom line. They want to be able to underpay you and overwork you. Remember years ago, guys, before you had multinational corporations running the world like you do today? Everybody lived comfortably. Everybody was paid a livable wage. Everybody was happy. And even then, they were screwing employees over. But at least, you know, one person. Usually the father, you know, went to work. The mother could stay home, raise the family, you know. And that one income was enough. There were such times. I remember them. Vaguely, I was just a kid, but I remember them. And, you know, my father didn't have a really high-paying job. He was a butcher. But that paid all the bills. We took vacations regularly. Holy Jesus, mother. Try to do that today with two incomes. Never mind one. Most people, it's completely out of their reach. All right, guys, short break. Be right back.
Job presenting to you cutting-edge and hard-hitting content every day of the week. They do this all for free because they care about getting the truth out there and ensuring that we and future generations have a future worth living for. Our enemies have an endless supply of money to finance their operations, but we're able to work wonders working on a shoestring budget. If you appreciate a host's content, visit their archive page and find out how to support them, or even send a nice thank you note. We all appreciate it. Thank you for your consideration. Now back to the show.
Thank you.
Renegade Broadcasting, hard-hitting talk radio.
Guys, welcome back. In 2006, there was a settlement against Starbucks in New Zealand by workers, which resulted in pay increases, increased security of hours, and an improvement in youth rates. They were underpaying kids, taking advantage. Talk about child labor law violations, child exploitation. Unfreaking believable. That workers have to fight to get an increase in hours and pay and you know, improvement in youth rates. This is a company, like so many others today, guys, that's absolutely despicably using and abusing people, taking total advantage of them.
Why should I have to give up my 15 trips to the Caribbean every year so you can buy a more sturdy cardboard box to live in next to the dumpster? How outrageous! Who are you, you petty little piss ant? Your very existence is for the purpose of making my life more comfortable. You better be happy with that and stop complaining. You're lucky to be alive. Why, one footstep and I could just snuff out your life like that. Lick my boots and be glad you have the privilege to do so.
Oh, slumbering masses. How much longer? How much longer doth thou not protest? Protest? You need to be doing a hell of a lot more than that, slumbering masses. In March of 2008, Starbucks was ordered to pay baristas over $100 million. Mere frickin' pocket change for them, ladies and gentlemen. $100 million in back tips in California in a class action suit there. Launched by baristas alleging it's true, that granting shift supervisors a portion of tips violates state labor laws. Did you catch that? The baristas were suing Starbucks because Starbucks was taking a percentage of the tips that were left each day, probably a handsome percentage of that, and giving it to the shift supervisor, taking the tip money of the baristas, the ones doing all the work, while the shift supervisor sits on his or her fat ass, just barking orders all day. The company wants these people. And why, guys? Because I'm going to tell you right now, I can tell you firsthand, I've seen it myself, the shift supervisors, probably without exception, have names ending in Bergenstein. So they want these lazy, fat-ass, frickin' already drowning in fat incomes. Those shift supervisors make pretty good money. They don't need the tips. They not only haven't earned them, they don't do anything. The tips aren't for them. They don't need the tips. They're the ones that have job security, that have full-time employment, benefits, already making a good wage. The baristas who get dirt wages to begin with, guys, who depend on those tips to make up for what the company isn't paying them, the company wants the ship supervisors to take the profits away. Oh, you gotta love it. You gotta love it. So baristas in California sued Starbucks. Good for them. They got $100 million total in back tips. I love it. I love it. That's awesome. But this kind of thing, guys, unfortunately, is the exception. It's not the rule. You don't hear of this stuff very often because it doesn't happen very often. These big multinationals, and even when it does, what's $100 million to them? It's nothing. $100 million is what Mr. Silver Spleen paid as a down payment on the Twin Towers. Mere pocket change to him. And right after 9/11, what does he get back? He only invested $100 million. Only, but, you know, for him, that's not much, right? $100 million. You know what he got back? $6.4 billion. Damn thing was only worth 3.2. How do you suppose they got insurance companies to shell out that kind of money, guys? The proceedings were closed door. Good reason. I'll tell you why. I can almost probably tell you verbatim what went on in that courtroom. Hey, look, just pay out the settlement. We're going to take care of you guys later. After 9/11, we're going to dip into people's pension funds, retirement funds very handsomely. We're going to steal trillions of dollars, so you guys are going to get paid back 10 times over. Oh, okay. Here you go, Mr. Silverstein. How many billions of dollars did you say you wanted? Here's a blank check. Just fill in the amount you want. My God. Slumbering masses. It's time. It was time a long time ago to wake up, but it's certainly time now because the clock is ticking away. We don't have much time left on our side. If we're going to do something about this mess, it's got to be done pretty damn quick. Oh, man, oh, man, oh, man.
Hey, Charlie.
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, yeah, I'm calling Tennessee, man. I got some good news for you. I know you had the show on the Waldorf School about a week ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we had this local website or whatnot, kind of. It's a neighborhood website that goes around our neighborhood, our town. And it's got 19 different areas, I guess, or subdivisions. And one of the women on that site posted a link and or copied the quote about Lucifer guiding the Waldorf schools and sent it around 19 different groups around Nashville.
Wow.
Yeah, so a Waldorf teacher stepped up and tried to erase it or just try to say, oh, well, so took it out of context and this and that. So I stepped up and just kind of gave him some links. I mentioned Podesta, Alice Sanchez, Pizzagate, Luciferianism, Mind Control, and child abuse. And I said, hey, don't take my word for it. Look into it yourself. So we've got the going around right now, and the Waldorf teacher's trying to say, well, she did say, well, yeah, the quote mentioned that Luther was involved in that he did, but it's just all taken out of context, and there's just really good stuff there. It's just kind of esoteric and whatnot. So, I put the bug in some people's ears, and there's a lot of people researching it right now in Nashville. So
yeah, that's one of the tactics that they pull. They'll say, oh, Luciferianism, it just means light, you know, and they try to water it down. It's no big deal. It's a big deal.
Oh, that's a big deal. See, I just did a little bit of info to dig in and let people do their own homework. It's pretty much it's just explanatory incriminating. It all adds up once you look into it. So,
oh, yeah, absolutely. Now, sorry, buddy, have you waiting all this time to make a comment? I thought you were just calling to listen.
No, I've been listening, but we had to do something about this. And actually, just yesterday that popped up, and I made a comment. And
yeah.
I started that pretty good. I'm sure it'll blow up from there, but that is at least some news. It is in the public realm now.
Awesome. Hey, thanks, buddy.
Yes, sir. Yeah, thanks. Have a good one.
Yeah, you too. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, there you go. You know, it's sad. You go on YouTube and you see a lot of good videos exposing, you know, Satan worship, Luciferianism, you know, blah, blah, blah. Most of them are done by Christian. It's pretty sad, you know. You can cheer them on, you know. A lot of what they say is true. They have a lot of good stuff. But they unfortunately muddy up the waters, you know, with all the Jesus talk and, you know, we got to bring people back to the worship of the one true God. Oh, man. They make some good points, but then they ruin it. They ruin it with that slop. All they want to do is replace, you know, one name for another. It's the same God. It's the same demon. That demon wears different masks and bears different names. So they want you to stop worshiping this demon god under the name Lucifer and to worship him under the name Yahweh instead. Oh, that's a big improvement, isn't it? Whoa, that's really a step forward. Yahweh is the devil, ladies and gentlemen. Absolutely. No question about it. Anyway, let's get back to our discussion here. You know, as I mentioned, there's a listener that sent me an email the other day saying that, you know, her kids go to a Waldorf school in a completely different location, you know. And she claims that it's a good school. It may very well be, and I would say that's only because local teachers there that are good. But the highest levels, guys, when you start a school off, you know, as a Luciferian with Luciferian principles, following Madame Blavatsky, the Kabbalist, it's just, you know, even if a local school does have high standards, I wouldn't want my kids there. Let's put it that way. I wouldn't let my kids go. I wouldn't. Even if they you know, I'm sorry, I'll either homeschool them or I'll find a network locally. There's a lot of local homeschoolers, you know, if you can't do it for whatever reason. You can send your kid, you know, drop them off at a home that, you know, where they'll have like 8, 10, 12 kids or whatever, you know. I'd look into something like that. Get to know them well first, you know, make sure that they were above board. But, no, I just wouldn't trust an institution like that, knowing its history. No. Anyway. There was an 18-year-old barista in Chestnut Hill, Massachusetts, recently, who filed another suit against Starbucks with regards to the tipping policy. Massachusetts law also states that managers may not get a cut of the tips, and yet here they were, not too far from me, trying to take tips away from the baristas to give them to the local managers. A similar lawsuit was also filed in Minnesota on March 27, 2008. So this has been a common thing. So many other problems with Starbucks. Across Europe, several European countries, there's been problems with Starbucks not paying their fair share of taxes. Oh, this sounds like United Fruit in Guatemala back in the 50s, guys, where twice the U.S. military invaded Guatemala, organized a takeover just because the government was demanding of United Fruit that they start paying taxes. They weren't paying their taxes. Here they were stealing arable land so local people didn't even have croplands anymore to grow their own food. And on top of that, they weren't even paying taxes. Their government, ladies and gentlemen, with your tax dollars and your kids' lives, intervene down there on behalf of this company, United Fruit, which was later owned by Daddy Bush, by the way, back around 1970 for at least a year. He actually owned that company. Company that had long, deep roots connecting it with the CIA. Very close friends with the Dulles brothers, the CEO was. In October of 2012, Starbucks faced criticism after a Reuters investigation found that the company reportedly paid only 8.6 million pounds in compensation tax in the UK over a 14-year period, despite generating over 3 billion pounds in sales. This included no tax payments on 1.3 billion pounds of sales in the 3 years prior to 2012. Sleazy tactic after sleazy tactic, and they usually get away with it, guys. Even in China, there's been problems. In October 2013, China Central Television accused Chinese Starbucks of overpricing. The report compared the price of a tall 12 flat-ounce latte in Beijing, Chicago, London, and Mumbai. It was found that Beijing stores charged the most while Mumbai stores charged the least. When you have a company that's centrally run, you don't need to be charging high in one area and low in another. They do it just because, well, we know they have more money there, so we're going to charge more, as they always do in this country. I'm amazed as I drive around with friends, you know, to look at how gas prices vary so much. In the cities where they know people have more money, just over the weekend we were noticing. We saw like 220, 225 in the city, and then you drive just a few miles out of the city, and it's 195, 198. Hey! So disgusting. It's not a reflection on their cost, guys. It's a reflection on them raping people. Just like in the wintertime, usually the cost of oil goes up because they know people are going to be buying more of it. That's when they need it more. That's when they're more broke and can't afford to pay a higher price, but doesn't matter to them. They know you need it, so we'll make more money off them. We don't care if it's going to drive them in the poorhouse. That's the tribal way, you see. Anyway, I don't know if I'm going to go through all of this, but so many shenanigans over the years. There was a little marketing stunt that Starbucks tried a couple years ago called Race Together. On March 16th, 2015, Starbucks launched this phony marketing campaign to promote, as they claimed, conversations about race between customers and employees to break down racial barriers. Ah, knock it off. It was just a big publicity stunt to make themselves look like they're concerned about race. They don't give a frog's fat, Fanny. It's just to make frickin' money and to promote the phony, multiculturalism theme. It's all about promoting world order. That's all it is, guys. We want you to get used to integrating with other cultures because they're destroying yours. They want to intermix cultures so much that everyone loses their cultural identity. Everybody, except them, of course. You understand, in this game, even the immigrants are losing. A lot of Americans think, oh, no, they're coming over here and they're getting a free ride. Yeah, but they're losing, too, because their culture's getting destroyed. As they come over here, they're losing their identity every bit as much as we are. That's what the tribe is all about. Anyway. This scheme, this Race Together scheme, called for baristas to draw the Race Together hashtag on customers' cups, similar to, you know, them writing their name on the cup. It was characterized as a fiasco by some media outlets to the extent that Starbucks vice president of public relations deleted his Twitter account. Oh, it isn't going over. It's not having the propaganda effect that we were hoping. All right, we'll just dump this and pretend we never came up with the idea. On March 22nd, the Starbucks CEO, Howard Schultz there, couldn't tell you what kind of name that is, advised his employees that there was no longer a need to write "race together" on cups. In other words, the whole campaign backfired.
Oh yeah, you don't have to do that anymore. There's no need. Damn it, we thought we were going to get a lot of good publicity out of this and make some more money. Nope, it backfired.
Reuters reported that Starbucks said that the phase of the campaign that involved messages on drink cups was always scheduled to end soon anyway.
Yeah, we were just going to be doing it for a few days.
No, they weren't. This was going to be a long-term strategy. They were hoping that Starbucks was going to be connected with the wonderful idea of racial integration, everybody coming together and being loving and accepting of one another. Ah, knock it off.
Again, it had the opposite effect, so they pulled away. In a related story, the Business Insider website carried an article on January 30th, 2017, just a couple months ago, or actually a little over a month ago. What am I saying? Not even a month ago. Whatever. Anyway, entitled, "People Are Boycotting Starbucks After CEO Announces Plan to Hire Thousands of Refugees." You see, he knows he's stepping down in April. So he wants to pull this off really quick. Hey, they don't like me anyway, so let's pull this off really quick. Kind of like, the shenanigans that presidents pull before they leave office, like all the pardons. I'm surprised. I'm really not amazed. Well, I'm not really amazed. I was expecting that Obongo there was going to pardon Hillary, But he didn't have to because Trump, of course, already made it clear.
Oh, I'm not going to go after the Clintons. They've been through enough. In fact, they're good.
So he didn't have to. But usually that's what would happen, Last minute. All right, before I leave office, I gotta get all my buddies out of trouble here that helped me along and supported me. Now they're all up on charges. That's usually what happens. Well, the same here with this friggin' current CEO. He's bailing out in April. But here he is. He's hiring thousands of
I guess it doesn't give an exact figure, but thousands anyway. Planning on hiring thousands of refugees, i.e. illegal aliens.
Well, that shouldn't surprise us now, should it? They're all doing it, right? All these multinational corporations. But just notice the timing, guys. He's doing this right before he steps down. Let's take a closer look at Mr. Schultz, shall we? As you might guess, he's not just a tribe member. He is a rabid Zio pig, ladies and gentlemen. In 1998, he was honored by the Jerusalem Fund of Aish HaTorah with the Israel 50th anniversary Friend of Zion Tribute Award for playing, quote, a key role in promoting a close alliance between the United States and Israel. Oh, isn't that nice? Yeah, like we don't have enough people and enough organizations supporting that already as it is. You gotta be kidding me. Anyway, we got a call on the line here. Welcome to the show, caller.
Hey, Charlie, that was 10,000 immigrants.
Was that the number? Okay, wow.
Yeah.
10,000, folks. 10,000.
Yeah. Thank you, Charlie.
Okay, thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. Yeah, maybe that was in the article. I didn't read far enough into it or whatever. 10,000. Yep.
Doing their fair share. To help make it a better world.
Oh, yeah. That's certainly what they sell it as.
You see how they glamorize this stuff, guys? Anything that is designed to destroy your country, destroy your livelihood, degrade your already degraded system, anything, they make it out like it's something good.
Yeah.
Somebody sent me a clip the other day of Bill Maha, whatever his name is. I can't freaking stand that piece of inhuman swine flesh. But anyway, he was talking about, well, ultimately what he was doing is pushing pedophilia. He wasn't calling it that, but that's what he was doing. He's talking about, you know, underage. The specific discussion was about a teacher, a woman, that made advances on an underage boy, a high school teacher or something, I guess. Anyway, he was trying to defend it. Oh, what's wrong with that? You know, other societies used to get married at 12 years old. Yeah, but that's not our society today. And we now realize that 12-year-old kids are not mature, not, you know, able to make right decisions for themselves yet. Their minds aren't grown, you know. There's a lot of things that were done in ancient times that were pretty ignorant, pretty stupid, that we now realize weren't good, you know. Another reason, though, that was done back then is the life expectancy was a lot shorter, too. Not that that made it right, but, you know, people got an earlier start because you were dead by 25, 30 years old in ancient times. But anyways, the point is, it doesn't matter. He's trying to justify, legitimize pedophilia, right? And so listen to what he says. I love it. It backfired on him. This is great. He made the point that, how could you call that rape when there's an erection involved? In other words, this young kid that the teacher came on to enjoyed it. He had an erection. One of the guests sitting there, he says, well, wait a minute, I got to disagree with you there. When you're, I forget how old the kid was, 12 or 15, you know. When you're in the age of puberty, you have erections without even trying. You have no control over that thing. Of course. And yet, but here was Maha trying to make the point that, hey, if he had an erection, that means he was enjoying it, so it's not wrong. It's this whole idea, guys, of pushing the idea that underage sex is okay when it's consensual. Young kids can be easily lured into things. They don't realize it's wrong at the time, especially if there's a candy bar involved or whatever. This guy is a little bastard. Anyway, guys, you're great.
Circus Maximus provides an in-depth analysis of geopolitics, historical events, social engineering, and the kosher Nostra who are attempting to bring about a global, technocratic feudal system. Nick Spiro brings forth his passion and years of research, unveiling the esoteric agendas of the deep state, black operations, NGOs, think tanks, secret societies, ancient bloodlines, and controlled opposition movements behind the Jewish veil. Tune in live every Friday night at 10 p.m. Eastern on Renegade Broadcasting.
Blinded by the light, wrapped up like a douche, another runner in the night. Diplomat in the dumps with the most at the adolescent.
All right, guys, welcome back. Wow, this show seems to be flying today. Jeez. Anyway, Mr. Schultz, over the years, has been donating to things like the scam Planned Parenthood fiasco, matching employee contributions. He also has been directly donating to the IDF, ladies and gentlemen, thereby funding the slaughter of Palestinians. Truth is, Starbucks operates, like all tribal-run corporations, with a policy of nepotism such that a great many of its district managers are, in fact, tribe members. I remember years back when I went to this one Starbucks, there were several times where this, you know, obvious tribe member came in, all dressed up, three-piece suit, and he had his little yarmulke on, matching his little suit that he was wearing. And so I remember asking somebody after like the second or third time I saw him, I'm like, is this some bigwig here? Because he seemed to be coming in a lot. You know, he had his little clipboard and he kept looking over at the baristas and checking things off. I figured he must be some, you know, Starbucks bigwig. Sure enough, he was the district manager. The district manager. How much you want to bet, guys? All of their district managers are of that persuasion. It turns out that Starbucks, the local manager of that store was a tribe member, and actually quite a few of the baristas were too. And I must say, they were scum. Absolute scum. Anyway, scum to their fellow employees, or the ones that worked under them, and scum to the customers, too. Very, what's the word? You know, they just had this high up on a pedestal attitude, looking down their nose, and even customers. Anyway, I could tell you, I don't want to take the whole rest of the show. I could tell you some stories, boy. This one guy, this friend of mine, I went to bat for him one time because she stuck up for this other guy who was a complete scumbag and was mouthing off. And she came out and blamed my friend when it was this scumbag who was a fellow tribesman, of course. She jumped to his defense and threw my friend out of the coffee shop. I wasn't in there at the time. I was outside. He came out and told me, he says, can you believe this? I was told I can't go back. He says, oh, wait a minute. Hold on. I wasn't in when she threw him out, but I was in there a few minutes earlier, and I overheard what went on. So I went in. I went up to her, and I says, wait just a minute. I was in here a few minutes ago, and I heard who made such and such a comment. It was not, you know, my friend. I said, it was this other guy, the one she was defending. I said, you're not going to get away with that. In fact, I'll call some other friends in who were also here at the time and overheard it, and they'll back me up on this. She finally backed down and said that he could go back in. Although, you know, looking back, who would even want to hang out in a place like that anyway? It's so infested with these swine. But nevertheless, I had to go to bat for him on that one. She actually was throwing him out for something he didn't even do. And I'm sure she knew. Supposedly, she was in the back room, and she said that one of her co-workers, another tribesman, said that my friend made the comment. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. It was a swear word, you know, and so she threw him out because we don't allow that kind of talk in this establishment, you know, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, like I never heard her swear, by the way. Anyway, how frickin' sleazy. How sleazy. Everywhere they go, guys. Everywhere they go, that's all they do is bring just degradation. And anyway, in an article called Losing the Media Battle, published in the April 22, 2002 edition of the pro-Palestinian paper Jerusalem Report, we discover that, quote, Schultz, CEO of Starbucks, Schultz has been praised by the Israeli government for sponsoring pro-Israel, anti-Palestinian seminars on college campuses. And his company, Starbucks, has sponsored a fundraising event for the Israel Emergency Solidarity Fund, an organization which engages in crass anti-Palestinian propaganda to raise money to support the families of Israeli soldiers who have died while protecting Israel's illegal military occupation of Palestine and Palestinian territories. There you go. There you go. Oh, man. So like I said, you can't boycott all tribes, enterprises, guys. They own everything. But you can certainly afford to boycott that SOB of a company. I mean, it's not good for you anyway. It's not good for your wallet as well as your health. This scumbag is making billions and billions of dollars in profits off of making people sick. Not to mention, I don't find it a wholesome place to hang out. Amongst other things, guys, but all the havoc I've seen over the years that I used to hang out there, I'm telling you, I think these bastards actually, so much gossip floated around in that place. I think a lot of these SOBs keep an ear open for key pieces of gossip. And then behind the scenes, they not only do this on the grand scale of things with their control of the media, they even do it locally, guys, to take people down, individuals in local. I mean, that's what they did with me. You know, once it was heard that I did this radio show, this bastard, this hook-nosed son of a blankety-blank, trashed my name in that Starbucks to the point where even if I wanted to go back, guys, my name is mud there. This one woman told a friend of mine that, you know, still goes there every once in a great while. You know, oh, I want nothing to do with that guy, meaning me. My father fought in World War II to shut people up like him. I can't believe there's still people like that floating around. In other words, I'm a Nazi. That's what her father fought in World War II, to silence. Oh, shut up, you ignorant, fat-ass little wretch. You have no idea what the hell you're talking about. She's not a tribe member, but she is definitely under the mesmeric control of one. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They'll side with them every single time, guys. You know, if I was in there talking about Muslims, how evil they are, we got to kill all the Muslims. I could literally say, we got to kill all Muslims. She wouldn't have a problem with that, and nor would most everybody else that frequents that coffee shop. But you mentioned the ones that are really screwing our world up with their phony banking system, the control of the media, the control of the government through APAC, on and on and on and on. You mention any of that, and your name is mud now. You got to love it, man. This country is so ripe for destruction. Hell, pretty much destroyed already as it is. But, you know, it just like Trotsky once said, my mind's blank. Soviet premier, I can't think of his name. Under Kennedy there, what the hell was the Soviet, that's with a K. I can't think of his name. Anyway, he said, one day, America, we're going to feed you right now with small dosages of socialism. Little here and little there, so that one day you will wake up in a fully communized country and you won't even know it. You will fall like a ripe fruit off of a tree branch, you know, into our hands. The irony of it, people think communism isn't really much of a threat anymore. The Iron Curtain has fallen, and yet communism is in full swing in this country.
Isn't that interesting, ladies and gentlemen? Isn't that interesting? All the while, they had us thinking we were fighting against communism to crush it out, and yet it was in full swing here the whole damn time. Oh, could you get people more in a coma than that? Could you sucker them any more than that? They thought they were fighting a crusade against an enemy that had already conquered them from within. Oh, man, and it still got them by the cleones, baby. Still got them. Khrushchev. Hey, what do you know? I got it. That's how that usually works. Suddenly it'll just pop into your head. Yeah, Khrushchev is the one that said that. Anyways, you might imagine both Schultz and Starbucks have done all that they can to distance themselves from their Israel-supporting image that has marred their reputation in certain circles and has cut into some of their profits. In fact, this must surely be the reason why Schultz ultimately is going to be stepping down in April. Along this line, Veterans Today published an article called Starbucks Attempts Deflection from Association with Zionist War Crimes Against Humanity on August 8th of 2014. So, you know, they've been engaging a campaign now to try to distance themselves from that. Oh, no, we haven't been supporting something like that. Of course they have. This article pointed out that a major damage control measure was taken through the then recent publication of a Huffington Post article called Starbucks, We Do Not Give Money to Israel. Oh, Sure. That must have been another fake news story. Veterans Today then went on to point out that, at least at that time, Schultz's son, Elihu Jordan Schultz, had worked for Huffington Post. My. Well, what do you know about that? Schultz Sr. has received other telling awards over the years. Another one was granted him by Notre Dame University, nonetheless, which is quite striking since Schultz is pro-abortion. Why is a Catholic university supporting this guy? Oh, do you see how it works at the highest levels, guys? You realize that all you're getting is freaking rhetoric, man. It doesn't matter if it's a religious institution, a government institution, a media enterprise, it doesn't matter. All you're fed is freaking rhetoric. Their claims to be supportive of this and opposed to that, it's all just for public freaking show. It doesn't mean anything beneath the thin veneer. Just to, you know, to lure you in. Anyway, Notre Dame gave Schultz the Theodore M. Hesburgh CSC Award for Ethics in Business on March 29, 2007, after which time he delivered an address on business ethics. Oh, fasten your seatbelts. Enjoy the ride. It's going to get pretty rough. Wow. We're in high-speed spin cycle on this one. This is, again, a conservative Catholic university. Not only are they endorsing this pro-abortionist, but now they're letting him sell the lie that he practices business ethics? You gotta be freaking kidding. Any Catholics out there, you know, if you haven't figured out the Bible's a lie, I hope you at least can admit that your cult is a lie. Like all the other ones, they're all in bed with this very system. Always have been. But if you can't see it now, in 1999, Schultz was awarded the National Leadership Award, quote, for philanthropic and educational efforts
to battle the AIDS epidemic. Oh, Jesus.
Well, you know what that must mean.
He's as much concerned about stuff like that as Mr. Bill Gates is. Give me a break, guys. All the money they donate to stuff like that, supposedly humanitarian efforts to rid the world of disease. Ah, knock it off. All they're interested in is spreading disease, shortening people's lives, minimizing the population. Oh, yeah, he's concerned about educational efforts to battle the AIDS epidemic. Right. And when is the bridge coming? I sent you the check. Should be here any day now, right? Get a tracking number? Should also be pointed out that Schultz was slated to be Hillary's Secretary of Labor, ladies and gentlemen, had she gotten into the Oval Office. So said the January 10th, 2017 edition of the Seattle Times. Secretary of Labor. Someone who has surely proven himself to be worthy of such a position with the way that he has so fairly and admirably treated his workers over the years. Hey, all right. My God. And now for the grand finale. Howard Schultz was mentioned in the Podesta Clinton WikiLeaks emails, ladies and gentlemen. He was advising Clinton's campaign on, quote, how to connect with millennialism. But the messages were forwarded from one major Clinton aide to Podesta himself. That tells us that he's obviously very chummy with Mr. Podesta. Anyway, so, you know, you got to wonder, how far does that rat nest go? Does Mr. Schultz like pizza as much as he does coffee? Considering his plans to hire thousands of refugees, could this involve assisting the Clintons guys with their smuggling of pedophilia victims into the U.S.? Is that, you know, because he's all into child labor, right? Bring young teens in, working as baristas. Is he bringing them in here, though? Not just as coffee workers. In fact, could that just be a front that he's using, but ultimately, is he trafficking kids for the Clintons' little pedo ring? Why should we doubt it? The fact that his emails were forwarding directly to frickin' Podesta? Come on, man. Let's not forget the Finland case, where the former president and current finance minister, Alexander Stubb, had planned to export guest workers to pizza parlors, fast food restaurants, and coffee shops under false foreign guest worker visas, guys. It was a pedophilia ring. So this, you know, this is starting to smell just like that. What Mr. Schultz is up to with his 10,000 refugees or immigrants coming into the country. Oh, man. Just like the Clintons, you know, with their Haitian outreach program, helping these poor homeless kids. What are they actually doing to help them? Anyway, shenanigans go on and on here. I only got a few more minutes left. Like I said, I'm not going to have time to finish all of this. I wish I did. But anybody wants, just request the notes. I can send you, you know, a lot more material here. Many people think that because Starbucks is expensive, once again, that somehow that translates into better quality drinks and foods. Like I said, absolutely, you couldn't be more wrong. Amongst many other things, guys, and I just want to hit some highlights here really quick. their Teavana, they branched out recently into selling, you know, tea products. They label their teas as organic. They're not organic at all. One of their teas was tested in an independent lab and discovered to contain 67 toxic pesticide residues. Pesticide, there's a new term for it. 67 toxic pesticide residues just in one of their teas alone. That's as anti-organic as you can get, right? And yet they label them as organic. People buy them thinking they're buying organic. You gotta be kidding me. How do they get away with that? Well, they're very well connected. Since its 2005 debut, Starbucks pumpkin spice latte has served over 200 million, has been served over 200 million times in coffee shops around the world. Even though no one seems to know what is even in their pumpkin spice mix. Most of their drinks, guys, people think, oh, it's high-quality stuff. No, it isn't. Do you ever look behind the counter? It's all these frickin' plastic bottles of syrup, high fructose corn syrup crap. They just give a few pumps here, a few pumps there. That stuff is toxic sludge, baby. They just put different colorings in there to make it look attractive, different flavorings, artificial flavorings. Like I said, nobody really even knows. You you can buy their little packets of pumpkin sauce or whatever. It's not the same thing as the pumpkin spice syrup. It's not the same thing at all. Some people think it is. No, it isn't. You can read the ingredients there, which aren't very good either. But that's not even the ingredients for the pumpkin spice syrup. Nobody knows what the hell's in that stuff. But what is in the pumpkin sauce, it almost sounds like walnut sauce, doesn't it, by the way? What is in the pumpkin sauce is troubling enough, guys. There's artificial colorings that have been found to be highly carcinogenic. Cancer-causing. Starbucks claims to be concerned about the welfare of farmers in developing countries. Again, the BS meter is going way off the charts here. For example, a 2005 fight with Ethiopia's coffee growers revealed that Starbucks' socially responsible image is simply a sleazy frickin' marketing tactic. To protect the values of their unique coffees sold to Starbucks for only 2 to 3% of what the company charged consumers. Ethiopia sought to trademark its brand. Well, what a surprise they got. During the application process, this country was shocked to discover that Starbucks had already applied for their own trademarks on the names. If successful, Starbucks would have been able to use the names of any coffee that they sold, cutting out the Ethiopian farmers that they claim to support, and thus depriving them of $80 million annually. Look how sleazy these SOBs are. And yet again, they claim to be concerned about, oh yeah, helping farmers, we're providing them with a steady source of income, helping to keep them going. No, they're not. They're trying to snuff them out, just like frickin' Monsanto did. With all the, I forgot how many now. Jeez, I think it was like 200,000 farmers in India that they drove out of business, many thousands of which committed suicide. Remember I talked about that? They drove them out of business because they were selling the Terminator seed that doesn't reproduce. You know, they're sterile. So that they had to keep buying seeds from Monsanto. Well, over time, as farmers began to become dependent on these seeds and had to keep buying from them year after year and weren't saving their old stock seeds that were fertile, right? Once they realized that the monopoly was in place now, they drove the price of their Terminator seeds so high the farmers couldn't afford them anymore. So what happened? Those farmers went belly up, right? lost their business. Monsanto swooped down and scooped up those farms for pennies on the dollar. I forget how many now, but there were thousands and thousands of farmers that committed suicide because that's all they ever knew. It's the only business they ever had. It was in the family for generations. Now, that's it. They lost everything they had. So what we're seeing here with Starbucks, guys, it's the same freaking thing, isn't it? Well, what do you think they learned this from, their fellow tribesmen over at Monsanto? The same type of business tactic. And yet, again, selling themselves as being concerned about third world farmers. Oh, yeah, they're concerned, all right. They're concerned about screwing them over as best they can. People that are already hurting, already struggling. What is $80 million to Starbucks, guys? It's frickin' pocket change. But yet, that's life-giving to those farmers. That's a lot of money for them. And it's not just about the money. It's not just that Starbucks has another $80 million to impress their investors with, right? No, it's about screwing over the goyim. Once again, guys, their biggest war is against European-based cultures. Absolutely no question about it. But ultimately, guys, they want to destroy all the goy. They do. They want to wipe us all out. Just have a few left, enough to keep the machine going. The ones that have no qualms about licking their hind parts and smiling afterwards. The ones that aren't willing to do that, they want to take you down. So even if there wasn't that $80 million profit involved, they would do this stuff anyway. Do you understand? Drive farmers out of business just because it's fun to do. And it's going to, you know, get rid of a lot of these people. But yet all the while, they claim to be about, you know, claim to be concerned about minorities and wanting to help them out. And yet look what they do, guys. Never mind their rhetoric. Look what they actually do. They ran the slave trade, didn't they? Oh, you've got to love it. God damn it, all the hell. Anyway, unfortunately, quite a bit more material. Like I said, if you want to just request, I'll send them to you because I'm not going to pick up a bill tomorrow. I get things to talk about. Boom, now on Friday. So anyway, have a great day, guys. We'll catch you tomorrow. Take care.
Is it really our greatest ally?
The USS Liberty?
The incessant spying?
The control of our politicians and police?
The attacks of September 11th?
The Zionist wars of aggression?
The blatant war crimes against innocent women and children?
The organ and human trafficking?
The safe haven for convicted child rapists?
Do we really need to keep going?
The time of Israeli influence over our country must come to an end.
AIPAC is where we will let them know we will not be their goyim slaves any longer. March 26th through the 28th, Washington, D.C.
Be there.